Okay, so let us go to where we left off last week. Lesson 10. Oh, we were in this story. Okay, just to review the story quickly. Okay, one time in the this is passage 2 on page 133. One time in the past in Benares, there was a cripple, Pithasuppi, who was skilled. He had attained to mastery in the art of flinging stones. And he would sit underneath a banyan tree at the entrance to the city, throwing pebbles at the leaves of the tree, and he would be able to cut out different shaped animals from the leaves of the tree. And the village boys would say to him, "Show us the form of a hati, an elephant. Show us the form or shape of a horse." And he would throw pebbles at the tree, knock out the leaves in order to form the shape of a horse, of an elephant. And, okay, he would do this at the request of the village boys, and in return, they would give him food and other requisites. And so that is how this crippled person, this crippled boy, was able to sustain himself. That's as far as we got, am I correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, I'm going to have to go over all of these passages from the commentarial literature because they have their own style. And unless you have models, examples to work with, it's very difficult to get familiar with the style. But once you get familiar with it, it's quite an easy flowing style. More so, I think, than the suttas. Okay, so now we start with At Eka Diva Sang Raja Uyanan Gachanto Tang Padesang Papuni. Everybody have the place? It's Yeah, it's on page 133, section 2, beginning of the second paragraph.
Okay.
At Eka Diva Sang. Okay, at is just atta, which means then. Eka Diva Sang, one day. And this is Eka Diva Sang. It's an accusative used in the sense to indicate a particular time. Just like Ekang Samayang Bhagava, we say on one occasion, the Blessed One. Okay, then. Okay, then one day, Raja, the Raja is the king. Uyanan Gachanto. Gachanto is what part of speech? What part? Say again? Exactly. It's present participle, so he's going to Uyanang. Uyanang is Yuan. Yuan. The park or garden. Tang Padesang Papuni. Papuni is the verb. What kind of verb is it? Right. It's past, or we call aorist. And it means he arrived. He arrived. Where did he arrive? That region, that place. Okay. activity. Ta na ge di fang, dao na ge di fang, lai le ma? Lai le, lai le? Just, dao na ge di fang. Daola. But this isn't perfect. This is actual past. So, dao guo. Dao guo di negative. Guo. Yeah. But in normal narrative in Chinese, you would just use dao. You don't use the guo. Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, so he arrived at this region. Okay, Dharaka, Pita Sapping, Paro Hantare Katva, Pala Yingsu. Okay, now, the Dharaka, that means the boys. Katva Paro Hantare. Yeah, it's literally, it would mean having made, having done the cripple inside paroha, that's the trunk of the tree. Well, you see the banyan tree, like with the downward roots, there are like big openings in between them, so almost like hollows in between. So they, when the king arrives, they want to have some fun with the cripple, so they push him into that hollow of the tree, and they run away, and he's stuck there, the cripple, just when the king arrives. So then the next, Runyo, and Palayingsu is run away or flee. And what part of speech is this? Pali Yingsu? Third person? Plural. And of what kind of? Of the past tense. Right. Third person, plural, past tense. Ranyo tita majantike rukamulang pavitasa Chida chaya sarirang pari. This is almost becoming like a sort of Laurel and Hardy movie. Okay, Okay, now this expression from Runyo to Pavitasa. What case is that?
Genitive.
And why is a genitive here? What function is this genitive fulfilling?
Absolute.
Right, it's the genitive absolute. That means that this is, we call it a secondary clause or subordinate clause. That means it's a clause which has a subject and an action different from the subject and action, the main subject and action of the sentence. When I translate, then you'll understand what it means. In English, we would use, to indicate a genitive absolute, we would use the word while so-and-so was going on, or when such-and-such happened. Okay, so when the king had entered the root of the tree at the middle of the day, tita majantike means the middle of the day. Chita chaya sarirang pari. The chaya means shadow. And chita is from the root chin, which means to cut. And here it would mean the holes that have been cut. The holes cut in the leaves by the cripple. Pari means touched or pervaded, and sarirang is body. So when the king entered, actually he entered, he didn't go into the root of the tree, but he entered the area around the root of the tree. At the middle of the day, probably it was very hot, so he wanted to cool off. So he goes into the shade of the tree, and while he's resting there, the holes that in the shape of the animals that had been cut in the leaves cover his body. So then, so, kinu ko, it should be kinu ko etanti, udang olo kento, rukasa panesu, hati rupa kadini dispa. Okay, let's take it this up to here. Okay, so is he, then to find the matching verb for this is actually a participle, olokento. Olokento is, usually it's looking down, but here it's looking closely, and udang is upwards. So looking upwards, first, so kinu koetang. Kinnu ko, the ko is just emphatic, but kinnu, the nu indicates a question, and kin also is what, and etang is this, so he's asking himself, what is this? And the Pali, it doesn't have to give a verb, it doesn't have to say explicitly he asked himself this, but just by putting the question there, and then using the T, showing that it's a direct quotation. It implies he asked himself, what is this? Then looking upwards, then going, jumping to dispa, having seen hati rupa ka dini. Hati rupa ka is the forms of elephants. Then this adi as a suffix was explained in the grammar. When you have the adi at the end of a formation, it functions like in English, etc. So having seen the forms of elephants, etc., that means there would have also been the forms of horses, cows, lao go, all dogs, xiao mao, little cats. Okay. In the leaves of the tree, panesu is leaves. In the leaves of the tree, so having seen this, kasa etang kamanti puchitva. Okay, here it kindly provides a question, or a verb for question. Again, it's a gerund. Having asked of whom or whose work, here kama has the sense of work, whose work is this, etang, or of whom is this the work? Following the syntax of the Pali. Of whom is this the work? Or whose work is this? Then, pita sapino ti sutva, having heard, pita sapino, and sapino is what case? What case is that? Say it again. No. We have the nominative is suppi. It's the genitive. Because this suppi is one of those nouns ending with a long I that actually represents the ending IN. So this gives nominative, singular, suppy. The nominative plural, would be suppy note. But genitive is plural. But genitive singular is also suppy note. And it's genitive here because the question was, whose work is this? Of whom? Kasa. And so the answer is, of the cripple. Okay, so having heard, it's the work of the cripple. Tung pako sapetva. Having had him called. And this is, again, it's a gerund. And note that this is an example of a kind of double causative, where one person has another person do something on his behalf. It was explained in the grammar. On pages 139 and 140. Anyway, you can read the explanation again. So now a king, you see, he has too much dignity to call a cripple himself. So he asks one of his servants, find that cripple and call him. And somehow they find the cripple inside the trunk of the tree. And, okay, now when the cripple comes to the king is going to give him a job to do. He says, okay, tung pakko sapet va aha. Aha means said. And notice here, we build up a complicated sentence, a very elaborate sentence, just by using a chain of actions connected by gerunds. One does this, one does that, one does this. So it's always using the gerund form too. Incorporate one clause into another to build up a complex sentence. And finally, one comes to find out what the person is speaking about, when you get to the end of that long chain, aha, the king says, speaking now to the cripple, he says, my hung purohita ati mukaro. Okay, purohita is the chief minister of a king. And ati mukaro means ati, the prefix ati means excessive. Mukaro is talkative. So he's extremely talkative. Not the cripple, the king's minister is too talkative. Upamatake pi vute bahum bananto mang upadavati. Upamatake means a little bit. And vute is says, is said. And what kind of formation is this? Upamatake vute? Special name for this type of formation. We've had it before. Exactly, it's locative absolute. So the senses, when even a little bit is said, in other words, the king is saying, when I say even a little bit to him, Baho Bananto Mang Upadavati, speaking much, he's speaking much, and in effect he wears me out, or he annoys me, troubles me. I think we all know people like that. You just say a little bit like, oh, how are you today? And then they go on, oh, this, that, da, 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 and did you know this, da, 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 and what do you think about this, da, 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 da? Oh, I have a good one to tell you. You know this person, da, 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 da. And then they'll go on for 15, 20 minutes and you can't even get in a word. Okay. So, now the king is going to give the job to the cripple. He says, Sakisasi tasa muke nali mata ajalandika kipitunti. Sakisasi, are you able? Tasa muke, into his mouth. Nali mata, nali is a kind of measurement. I think they give here, okay, it's a cupful. A cupful of what? Achalandike, that is goat's dung. The goat's dung comes out in little, like, pebbles. And kipitung is to throw. So, are you able to throw a cup measure of goat dung into his mouth? And then the cripple says, Sakhi Sami Deva Ajalandika Aharapetva Purohitena Sadding Tumhe Anto Sanyang Nisidata Aham Eta Katabang Jani Samiti. So the cripple says, Sakhi Sami, I'm able, Deva. Deva means God, but it's a form of address to a king. It means like your majesty. Then we have this gerund, ahara petva, have brought, having had brought, or bring to me, in other words, bring to me the ajalandika, the goat's dung, and you sit down, antosanayang. Antosanayang is behind a curtain. So you sit down together with the minister behind a curtain.
And both of them said behind a curtain?
That's the sense. We're actually probably within a curtain, because this will be a... I think the sense maybe is that the cripple is on one side of the curtain and these two, the king and the minister, are on the other side. But I would think that it's the cripple who is close to the curtain, whereas they might be some distance away. Because you could see that the cripple would be able to pull the curtain aside, throw the tongue into the minister's mouth, then close the curtain again.
Okay, but what is the sadding here? Well, I know sadding goes with...
Sadding is... sadding means together with.
Right, but who's together with
the three? Tumhe, you.
You.
Yeah. So you is the...
You with the king's head priest.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Are both sitting behind
the curtain? Right. The king and the priest are behind the, are on the other side of the curtain, and the cripple is hiding behind the curtain.
Is there three people?
Yeah. The cripple is the one who's going to do the mischief, and the king is talking with his minister beyond the range of the curtain. Okay, so the cripple says that, and he says, "Aham eta katabang jani sami." Literally, I will know what is to be done here. But this is a way of saying, I will do the needful. I'll do what has to be done. No, he doesn't have to. But the king knows that he's an expert because of the way he can cut shapes out of the leaves.
So Janati here, Jani Sani.
Yeah.
The original form Janati here means to know or to produce?
No, this is Janati meaning to know. I will know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. To produce is Janati. J short A N would be, in the future would be Jane Sami. Jane Sami. But this is an idiom. I will know what has to be done. In other words, that means I will do what has to be done. Okay, Raja Tata Karesi. Okay, the king did as he was instructed. Itaropi Kataria Agena Sanayang Chidang Katva. Okay, Kataria is a scissor. An aga, it's literally the tip or point, but in the case of a scissor, it would be the edge of a scissor. Or perhaps it was some other, we call it a scissor, but they must have had some other cutting instrument similar to a scissor. So like some kind of knife for cutting cloth material. So with this scissor, the blade of a scissor, he cut a hole in the curtain. And again, this is fitted into the sentence with a gerund, having cut. Purohitasa ranya sadin katain tasa. Okay, this phrase, purohitasa up to katain tasa, what case is that? Genitive and
native.
No, it's actually genitive.
Absolutely absolute.
Okay, so, and again, it has a sense while the minister was talking together with the king. And notice, sudding takes instrumental, together with the king. Mukhe vivata mate ek ekang ajalandikang kipi. Okay, mate at the end of a past participle means as soon as, at least in this case it has the meaning as soon as. Mata is literally, it's only, merely. So merely is merely with the opening of his mouth. All he had to do was open his mouth. As soon as his mouth was opened, one by one, ek ekang, ajalandikang kipi, he threw one after another the bits of goat dung. Puro hito mukang pavitang gili.
Before you go on, may I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
Kare here is the third person singular aorist, is it correct? The Raja Tata.
Kare si, yeah. Yeah.
That is the third person singular aorist.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually as a causative form.
Right.
Made him do. Maybe it's the king made him do thus. The king thus had done. I think the sense is that the king is a causative form. I don't quite get what the action, what is the action that was caused to be done.
I thought it was the arrangement that it was talking about before when he said.
Maybe the king had this done.
Right.
In other words, he had the goat's dung brought to the right spot. Then he had the minister come and sit behind the curtain. Yeah, I think in that sense.
Right. And then Itaro is next.
Oh, I'm sorry, I should have explained that. Itaro is other.
The other.
In other words, the other one. This is the cripple. Let's see, does the glossary give Itaro? Yeah, the other one. The other one, really, they should have had a note on this. It's so obscure if one doesn't know the style. The Itaro is the other one referring to the cripple. So the king had the instructions followed out, as explained. The other one, that is the cripple, cut the hole in the curtain with the scissor.
That answered my question.
Okay, yeah, I overlooked that.
I couldn't find the subject for the
right. No, that's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now as soon as the minister, while talking to the king, talking with the king, opened his mouth, the cripple threw one piece after another of the goat dung into his mouth. And Purohito mukhang pavitang gili. Purohita is the minister. The verb gili means to swallow. It might be related to gullet, which means the food pipe.
Oh.
And pavitang is entered. But this is where the style is somewhat obscure. What is it referring to, entered? Do you know? Excuse me? Well, what has entered into the mouth, but what is it that has entered? The pieces of goat dung. And then it's repeated to show that it's the action that takes place over and over. So each time, you would say, the minister swallowed each piece of dung that entered his mouth. So this is a very concise style. And it's a little puzzling to me why they use mukhang. I would have thought a locative would be better. Mukhe, into the mouth, or mukasmin. I'm not clear why this. With relation to time, you can express the passage of time sometimes with accusative, sometimes with, or the location in time, with a locative or with an accusative. But in a place like this, it seems to me a locative would be better. So I would actually think maybe there could even have been a copyist mistake, transmission mistake. So I would say Purohito mukhe pavitang. Then to fill it out, pavitang, ajalandikang gili.
If that's the case, why is the first pavitang? Pavitang. Why is it accusative? It's past participle, but in accusative form, right?
Yeah, because.
So what is the verb here?
The verb is gili, swallow.
It has swallowed.
You see, the actual object is not mentioned, but it's just referred to, it's sort of understood. The object itself is Ajalandikang, piece of goat dung. And then each piece of goat dung enters his mouth. So as each one enters, he's talking away, he just swallows it, goes on talking, another one comes, he goes on talking and he swallows it. Yeah. That shows that it's a way of showing an action which repeats itself. Just like the kankan. Right?
Yeah. Repeating that.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Shibusha. No, that's a different. Try it on. Shishikan.
Yeah, but that's verb.
Yeah, but it's just the principle is the same. You repeat something to show an action is repeating. But that's not quite repeating, but it indicates like a short action done quickly. But in this case, it's a repeating action. Okay, pita suppi kinasu ajalandi kasu saning chalesi. Okay, pita suppi, that's the cripple. Then kinasu ajalandi kasu. What form of speech is this? Say it again. What kind of locative? Locative absolute. It means when something else had happened. And here, kina means, in this case, used up, exhausted.
But if that's the case, shouldn't the I at the end of the word pita suppi be a short I to be a locative?
No, pita suppi is not locative.
Pita suppi is not locative.
No, I'm sorry. Pita suppi is the subject of the sentence, but within this, after the subject, this is a sort of elegance of style, so-called elegance of style. I think it would have been clearer to non-Indian language speakers learning an Indian language if they would have put the locative absolute phrase first, then put the subject after. But this is sort of elegance of style. You put the subject first, then you put the subordinate secondary clause in between, then you complete the main clause. So the secondary clause is kinasu ajalandi kasu. Kina means used up. Ajalandi kasu means when the goat dung was used up. Why does it end with S-U? Oh, of course, thank you. Yeah, feminine plural. Yeah. My mind has slipped that.
So the subject here actually is Ajalandi Kasu. The goat dung.
Yeah.
The goat dung is finished.
When the goat dung was finished, used up.
Okay.
Then, okay, that's the secondary clause, the subordinate clause. When the goat dung, and it's plural, the bits of goat dung were used up, the cripple, saning chalesi, he shook the curtain. This was a signal to the king that he's run out of goat dung. Pellets, that's a good word. Yeah, pellet. Then Raja Taya Sanyaya Ajalandi Kanang Kina Bhavang Nyatva Aha. Okay, the subject here is Raja, king. Taya sanyaya, this is instrumental. And sanya here has a sense not of perception, the usual meaning, but what causes a perception. In other words, a signal. A sign or signal. And taya means that. So by that signal, the king, having known nyatva, kena bhavam, I explained last week or 2 weeks ago, bhava as a suffix gives the sense of, in English we say nis, N-E-S-S, or it can make a past participle into an abstract noun. So it's having known the finishedness, the exhaustion, the used upness of the pellets of goat dung. Or in normal English, having known that the pellets of goat dung were used up. Upness. No, I just made it up to show what the Pali would be. Exhaustedness. Finishedness. So having known that the pellets of goat dung had been used up, said, he's now speaking to his minister. He says, Acharya, he addresses him as teacher. Of course, the minister would usually be a high-ranking Brahmin, so he has to be respectful. Aham tumhehi sadding katento. Katang nitaritung na sakisami. Okay, I, speaking together with you, and notice tumhehi is, what number is this? It's plural, but he's speaking with one minister. Why does he use plural? Yeah, it's a polite form. Okay, so the king says, while speaking together with you, I am not able to to reach the end of the conversation, but tumhe, Ati mukarataya nali mata ajalandika gilantapi tuni bhavang na pajatati. But you, swallowing, but you, because of your excessive talkativeness, because you are so talkative, tumhi bhavang na apajata, you do not reach. Tunhi is silent, and bhavang is silentness, or in other words, silence. But you don't become silent, you don't stop talking, even though nali mata ajalandika gilantapi, even though you are swallowing a cup's measure of goat dung. Any questions about this? I should have been asking for questions. The though is P, gilanta P.
So apajati is second person plural.
It's the second person.
In the honorific Right?
Yeah, it's the honorific plural.
You know what it is, complaining?
Yeah.
Not everything.
Well, some problem that might be solved.
I didn't understand goat dung.
Goat dung?
In Chinese, so. I think it's solved.
I guess you could say that.
Ka is conversation, yeah, right? Instead of a story or tale, the
katang.
Katang,
yeah. Katang is talking. Yeah, I am not able to reach the end of our talk, our discussion. I, speaking together with you, am not able to reach the end of the talk.
Reach the end is
nitaritum, to conclude.
To conclude.
Yeah.
Okay. Ati mulkarataya.
Yeah.
What form?
Oh, okay, that's a good question. What form is this?
It could be one of five.
Okay, you see, the adjective ati mukara means excessively talkative. Now, what is being done here is to make it into an abstract noun by adding this suffix ta. Ta, it's also like nis or hood. There are several endings that have a similar function. Ta.
Awesome.
Another one is, ta is feminine. Another one is te, which is neuter. This will visit. And then what we just had, Baba, is actually a masculine. But this Baba is an independent noun, which means state or condition. But these are exclusively suffixes. So this is more common in the commentaries than in the Sutta literature. You can take an adjective and make an abstract noun out of it by adding this ta or te or bhava. And so we take the adjective ati mukara, extremely talkative, and you put ta, it means extreme talkativeness. And then this is showing that is a reason, a cause, so it becomes instrumental. Because of your extreme talkativeness, even though you swallow a whole cup of goat's dung, you don't become silent, you don't shut up. Okay, there's still another little paragraph to the end of the story. Shall we go on?
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead.
Kalesi, Abhisati, Tindasu, Ajalandi, Kasu, Sunni, Kalesi. That Kalesi is also ours, right? Third person, singular ours.
Wait, what paragraph are you? Oh, right.
Chalice. Yeah.
Okay.
Chalice.
Yeah.
That's also a R, so it's the third person singular.
Yeah.
Second person.
It's third person. Chalasi. It's a causative aorist. Chalati means to move. Wait, chalati is to move. When something moves on its own, that's chalati. Chalati is like when an earthquake takes place, you say pattavi chalati, the earth moves. Then this becomes, you make a causative out of this according to the usual procedure. You strengthen the initial vowel. So the first A becomes the long A, and then you show that the causative form is indicated by the E in the stem. Well, actually, if this were present, if it were present tense, it would be chalati. But here we have an aorist to get or past, so it becomes chalasi. Chalasi here is he moved, he shook, in other words.
It was confusing because I thought it was second person singular.
Yeah, actually, second person singular would be identical. But you would just have to judge from the context.
And I missed the subject.
Here it's a story. A story about something that took place in the past. So the verb has to be a past form. Let's go on and finish the story. Top of the next page. Brahmano Manku bhavang apajitva tato pataya mukang vivaritva ranya sading salapitung na saki. Again, the complex sentence made up of little parts joined by gerunds. Okay, so the Brahmin, that's the minister, is the Brahmin. Manku bhavang apajitva. Apajiti is to enter upon. So, having arrived at manku bhavang, manku is like a state of being ashamed, embarrassed. So having, we would say in English, having become embarrassed. In Pali, again here, bhava turns manku, an adjective, into an abstract noun. The Brahmin, having entered upon a state of embarrassedness or embarrassment. Tato pataya, this is one of those forms discussed on page 140. Pataya is an indeclinable post position, which means from such and such a time onwards. There was a Chinese equivalent of that. Zhong Jing Yu. Zhong. Yeah.
From.
Yeah.
Today, right now.
Zhong, that would be Ajito Pattaya. Zhong Jin. Yiho. Zhong Jin Yiho. But this is tato pataya, from then on. From now on. Xianzai. Nasha. From that time on. That's better, yeah. Yeah, Nasha. From that time on. Mukang vivaritva ranya sading salapitung nasaki. Okay, we go to the end. Nasaki is actually na plus asaki. Asaki is the past form of sakoti. Sakoti means to be able. and this forms the aorist asaki. The is just the, what do you call this, the augment, the aorist augment. So it's na plus asaki becomes nasaki. So the Brahman was not, from this time on, the Brahman was not able, having opened his mouth, mukhang vivaritva, ranya sading salapitung, was not able, having opened his mouth, to converse together with the king, or more freely in more natural English. He was not able to open his mouth and converse with the king. Okay, I'll go on.
But before you go on, don't you think that in this sequence of verbs, since we have opened the mouth first in gerund, finally we have a past tense of not able to speak. That means he would have opened his mouth and then not able to speak with the king.
I think one could interpret it either way, actually.
Either way, it doesn't imply the sequence of events.
It could be that from that point on, the Brahman would open his mouth, but then he would not be able to continue to speak to the king. Or else it could be taken either way, and I can't come to a definite determination. One is right, the other is not. It could be that the na also could refer back to both the vivaritva and salapitu. What do you call this tense?
Narrative.
They wouldn't use the wood is what we call an optative in Pali, but that wouldn't be used for narration. In some narrative writing, they use the present tense. They call it the historical present. In other words, it's the present used to describe events that took place in the past. Like even in the suttas, ekang samayang bhagava savatiyang viharati jetavane. Okay, at one time, the Blessed One, viharati, is present tense, is living. But we have to understand that as referring to the past, was living. Okay, so they would use either the historical present or the aorist, the past tense. Let me just complete it then. If there are questions, we'll discuss. Raja pita supping pako sapetva. Okay, the king, again, he doesn't lower his dignity by going to the cripple himself, but he has the cripple call to him, calls for him, and says, Tung nisaya me sukang ladanti. Nisaya means because of, on account of. Because, and here tongue is what? What does it mean? Right. And what case is it? Right, good. It's the accusative. It's the accusative you. Because nisaya, when it means depending upon or because of, it refers to an accusative. So because of you, for me, may, sukang, happiness, laddang, gained, obtained. So because of you, I have found happiness. I have gained happiness. And it's put ended with T. So there's no verb saying the king said this. But because it's a direct quotation, we have to understand Raja pita sapping pakosapeva tangnisaya me sukang laddang vatva. Having said, then tutto tasa sabattakang nama danang dattva. Tutto means glad or joyful. Huan shi, I think. Glad, joyful. Having given him to him, having given to him, that's to the cripple, danang is the wealth called sabattakang. Seems to be a special. Oh, I see. Comprising, a gift comprising eight of everything given. I guess he'll give him like eight suits of clothing, eight elephants, eight pieces of jewelry, eight bars of gold, eight bars of silver.
Yeah, we had that in Chinese.
That's concept?
Yeah, with
eight.
I don't know what they are, but yeah. I know that.
Okay, so having given him the gift named eight of everything, Nagarasa Chatusu Disasu Chataro Varagame Adasi. He gave him four Varagame, excellent villages, as kind of source of revenue. He gave him eight choice villages in the four quarters, four parts, four regions of the city. So let's take the whole sentence. Okay, the king, having called the cripple, said to him, "It is because of you that I have gained happiness." And joyful, the king gave him the gift called eight of everything and gave him four excellent villages in the four quarters of the city.
Where does excellent come from?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's this varagame. Game is village. Then vara has the sense of excellent, choice.
The book says the village given as gift.
Yeah. Hereditary village. I don't quite know the sense of that. But it's like something considered excellent or choice is described as vara. Let's say vara bhojana would be excellent food.
Okay, so this would be plural accusative.
This is plural accusative. Yeah.
In the four corners of the
city. Four quarters. Four
quarters.
Yeah, four districts of the city.
So the villages are in the four quarters? Or they gave also four quarters?
No. Because the four directions of the it's a little strange having a village in a city. It could be, I don't know, that the village lies outside the city on each, in each quarter. It could be in those, I don't know, it's a little strange to me. One doesn't think of a city as having villages in it. No, it's not just a piece of land, but it's a village. So each, I don't know. I just can translate it literally. I don't know. I would think it should say Janapadasa Chatusu. That means the country.
stop, we consider four directions.
Yeah.
So it would be the villages in the four directions of the city.
It could be that the villages themselves are outside the city, but then it's not necessary to say Nagarasa. You could just say Chatusu Disasu. Anyway, we don't really have to answer that because this, our job is just to learn the Pali, not to
I'm just wondering,
learn ancient Indian, what do you call this? The design, urban design. Mm.
But when we have these styles, we always translate it as four quarters.
It's really directions. Not corner. No, not corner. Quarter or region or direction.
Okay.
Well, sometimes you have 10 directions.
Right.
So quarter means four. So you don't have 10 quarters. Yeah. Then you have 2.5 of them.
Could it be just the four
divisions of the four directions? But then it would seem the word Nagarasa, city, would not be necessary.
Yeah.
It's a bit obscure. Maybe. But we just can guess. It's not completely clear. Let's go on and do these verses, which are not difficult. Yeah, please. Yatagara. So I would take the first line. I think it should be yata agarang dut, because in the form it's represented here, the meter doesn't click. Yata garang duchanang, only 7 syllables. You need 8. So better to take it yata agarang duchanang futi samati vijati. Evang abhavitang chitang rago samati vijati. Okay, yata as. Agarang means house. Duchanang. This is chana is covered. And du, D-U-R, means bad or poor. Then when you have dur plus cha, the R gets assimilated and it becomes cha. So vuti samati vijati. Vuti is rain. Samati vijati is to penetrate. And agarang duchanang is accusative. The subject nominative is vuti, and samati vijati is the verb. So as the rain penetrates a house that is badly covered, badly thatched, evang abhavitang chitang rago samati vijati. So, raga, lust, craving, penetrates a bhavitang chitang, a mind that is not developed, an undeveloped, uncultivated mind. Then the next verse is just the counterpart of this. And to get the meter, 2 syllables have to be sort of pronounced quickly, joined together. Yata agarang suchanang futina samati vijati evang subhavitang chitang rago na samati vijati. Just as the rain does not penetrate a house that is well covered, well-roofed, so lust does not penetrate a well-developed mind. Any questions about this? Completely clear to everyone? Okay, next couplet. Ida sochati, pecha sochati, papa kari ubayata sochati, so sochati, so vihanyati, disva kama kila mat, disva kama kili tamatano. Ten syllables. Okay, Ida Sochati. Here he sorrows. Pecha Sochati. Pecha means what? Do you know what kind of form that is? What form of speech? Anybody know?
Adverb?
No. It's tricky. It's difficult, in fact, on sight, it's difficult to guess. It's a gerund. I'll show you how it becomes a gerund. You know the class of beings called petas? The Sanskrit pretas, they call them the hungry ghosts.
Oh.
Okay, it's pa, that's the prefix, plus the verbal root I. So this gives us a verb. I don't think the verb ever occurs on its own in Pali. So it's just like a theoretical type of verb. Peti, which would mean the verb I has a sense of to go, and pa is forth, to go forth, but not going forth into homelessness, but it's going on, passing on, in other words, passing on, going on to one's next life. So this forms form an absolutive patya. It has the Y ending, Y-A. But when you have T-Y in Pali, the T-Y cannot exist, cannot remain in Pali, because it gets changed in speech into a double C. So it becomes patya. I mean, having gone forth, having passed on. Then from this you have the past participle form is peta, one who has passed on, one who has gone on to the next life. That's a past participle, but then in ordinary speech this gets turned into a noun, which means to mean a type of being who is passed away but hasn't taken rebirth in any of the other realms, but is floating around as a spirit. So, and then it's imagined that these spirits have intense hunger and thirst that they can't satisfy, so they're hungry ghosts. But normally, okay, some question? Something unclear that okay, so pecha means here having passed on, in other words, having gone on to the next life. one's sorrows. Papakari ubayata sochati. The doer of evil has sorrows ubayata in both places. Ubaya, ubayata. Ubaya means both, and this ending atta indicates place. Just like we have tatta means there, yata where, katta the question where, and sabata everywhere. So ubayata belongs to the same group of words concerning place. Here in both places. Okay, so the evildoer sorrows, is sorrowful in both places. So sochati, so vihanyati, disvakama kilita matano. He sorrows, so vihanyati, he is troubled, or you say he suffers. Having seen disva, kama kilita matano. Anybody know how to break up this kama kilita matano? Yeah. Kilitam. Excuse me? Yeah. No, that's the trick. You say? No. Yeah, and what is that to know?
Genitive or dative, actually probably the ageist one here, for atta, self.
It's genitive.
Genitive.
Yeah, of oneself, of himself. In other words, his own.
His own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, of his own.
Yeah. And kilitam is defiled. It's actually, as the glossary says, it's the past, originally past participle of kilesity. Kilesity is the verb from which we get kilesa or klesha. Fun now, is it?
Fun now.
So that's defilement. And so kilitam is defiled. So having seen his own defiled action. But maybe kilitam is being used, though it's originally a past participle, it might be used as a noun, having seen his own defilement of action.
What kind of compound is this? This is not Hakuri, so it can't be.
I think it is a kind of, it could be taken either as.
Because then it would be defiled of action.
I think, you see, because it's verse, so to fit into the meter,
okay. The
words can be juggled around. So it could be kilita, defiled action. Mm-hmm. But then they invert the noun and the adjective. So we would say, and it could be that this past participle, kilitam, is now functioning as a noun on its own. In that case, it would be a tapurisa compound. His own defilement of action. course, in the next parallel verse, we have a tapurisa. The next one is ida modati, pecha modati, katta punyo, ubayata modati, so modati, so pamodati, disva kama visuddhi matano. He rejoices here he rejoices, having passed on, he rejoices. Katta punyo, this is, katta punyo means literally done merit, but here it functions as a description, an adjective describing, it's an adjective which now becomes a noun in its own right. One who has done merit, the person who has done merit. We would say the doer of merit rejoices in both places. He rejoices, pamodati, same thing, just a little stronger. I don't know English so well, so... What word would you say? Rejoices, celebrates, I don't know, enjoys, having seen kama visuddhi matano, his own, here tapurisa, purification of kama. Having seen, yeah.
Then it is tapurisa.
Yeah, it is the tapurisa.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Ida tapati. The next one. Pecha tapati. Papakari. Ubayata tapati. Papang me katanti tapati. Bio tapati dukating gato. Okay, tapati. This is a passive form from tapati. Tapati is literally, it's like to burn. But here, as passive, it's to be burned or tormented. Yeah, tapas is the same, comes from the same root. Tapas is like spiritual, it has a sense of austere practice, which is a kind of, it's supposed to generate spiritual energy, the fire of spiritual exertion. So here he is tormented, having passed on, he is tormented. The evildoer is tormented in both places, then thinking, papang me katang, evil has been done by me, he is tormented. Biotapati dugating gato, he is even tormented bio, even more, having, when he has gone to dukating, that's the bad realm of rebirth, the bad destination.
Does thinking implied?
Yeah, because it's implied by that direct quotation. In English, we would have to say thinking, but Pali, you can just omit that word. Because it's stating his thought directly.
The tapati, right after the quotation. What is the subject?
It's still the same subject, the papakari, the evildoer.
So thinking evil has done by me, the evildoer is tormented.
Yeah.
translate the very last part, the gato will be...
Gato is gone. Yeah. Gone. Dugating. Dugating is a bad destination. That usually means the hell realm or the realm of hungry ghosts or the animal realm. And that's accusative. Gone to that place.
He is tormented
more. Yeah. He's tormented in this life by the thought, I have done evil. And he's tormented even more when he goes to the bad rebirth. Ida, okay, the next verse is just the opposite. Ida nandati, pecha nandati, katta punyo, ubayata nandati, punyang me katanti nandati, bio nandati, sugating gato. Okay, he rejoices, here he rejoices. Having passed on, he rejoices. The doer of merit rejoices. Well, let's use delights, since we use rejoices for modity. Here he delights. Having passed on, he delights. The doer of merit delights in both places. Punyang me katanti nandati. Thinking, merit has been done by me, he delights. Bio nandati sukating gato. Even he delights even more when he has gone to sukating, to a happy or a good realm of rebirth. And here I should explain just dukati with two G's is the usual form, because it's dukkati comes from dur.
Dur is the prefix meaning bad, plus gati. And so the R turns into a G. But the prefix for good is su plus gati. So you would normally get sugati.
For metrical reasons. I think it must be for metrical reasons. Any questions on these verses?
Only the word bio. Is that an indeclinable?
Yeah, it's an indeclinable, okay. Meaning even more, even more. Okay, so we... I didn't go through the vocabulary yet for further reading. Okay, page 144. Ati Pandito is given as a name, but Pandito means wise. So Ati Pandito is one who is very wise. Then this Umbo, usually occurs in when somebody is addressing somebody else and says, "Ambo Purisa." It almost has, it's untranslatable. I'm trying to find where it occurs. It's not quite like "hey," but it's a little bit like one person addresses another as like Xiao Zhang, like little Zhang. It doesn't quite mean little, but it's just like a familiar address. Almost like friend. If I have a friend named Bob, I say "friend Bob." It just establishes some familiarity between the speaker and the person addressed. Yeah. Or I think somebody in a lower position. I want to see what water it gives.
It means small?
No, it doesn't really mean small. It's just a kind of familiar way of one person addresses another. Well, water gives, A.K. Water gives, "sir." But then he says, "not very respectful," and "may express surprise." So I would say "friend" or "hey, mister." "Hey, guy," something like
that.
"Hey, mate," yeah, almost like that, yeah. You see, it wasn't originally a feminine. No, it wasn't specifically feminine. It was used, though with the long A, it could be feminine.
I was always told that Aya was the feminine of Dante.
No, this is, in a way, this is. Well, actually, it is used somewhat like that. No, maybe I'm wrong. Because when, like, in the time of the Buddha, when lay people addressed the monk, they would say Bante, but also they would address monks as Aya, with a short A, but they would address the nun, they wouldn't use a banta, there's no word like banta, but they would address the nun as aya. Then I think it was Aya Kema who yeah, she was, I think, the one to sort of adapt the word Aya and then use it as a kind of honorific title for a nun. Anyway,
I wonder the meaning of Aya always.
You see, it's
so
famous. Yeah, Aya, it's a dialect form of Arya, which means noble one, because in Sanskrit, see, Sanskrit, you have Arya, actually with a long
A.
Arya. Okay, so when it's to put this into a middle Indo-Aryan dialect.
How come here vote is A Y Y A?
I'm coming to this. Okay, two ways to do it. In sort of the formal way, they insert an extra vowel. In the R-Y combination, it's difficult to speak. So in ordinary speech, from which Pali is based on ordinary speech, on colloquial languages, they would insert the euphonic, there's a technical word for this, anyway, it's a euphonic vowel, I think it's called subhati vowel. And so this Arya has come down in Buddhist literature as the technical term for the noble one, or a noble person. But also another way to fit Arya into speech is to assimilate the R to the Y, so then it becomes Aya. And so Aya would be used, you see, even in the Vinaya text, when people speak to monks, they sometimes refer to them as Aya. They say the Ayas have come. Yeah.
And so Bhante, the masculine and feminine.
Actually, Bhante. Mm-hmm. Bhante seems to be evocative, which is masculine. Used only in the masculine. To my knowledge, that's only a masculine form. Mm-hmm.
But the Aya applies to both sexes, right?
Well, Aya with the short A would be masculine. Then to make it feminine, use long A, Aya.
Aya is for the male.
Without the bar.
Without bar for man.
Yeah, Aya is man. Okay. It's used for the male. Aya. Aya is the feminine. But then it does seem to have been taken over as the vocative when people address the nun, the bhikkhuni, then as a respectful kind of address, then they do use aya. For, then it becomes, the vocative actually becomes aye with an e. Aye. Okay, aya. In fact, I'm sure that I went through this with you. Because I remember saying, from having almost no corrections to this, but saying on page 145 to take out the middle, with the two M's in the middle, to take out one M.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you gave
it. Yeah, because so far the rest all seems to be all right. Yeah, Vayapata, reaches maturity, well, comes to come of age, the same thing as to reach maturity. Okay. And now I will be away for, let's see, 3 Saturdays I'll be away. The 25th. 1st, 8th. So the next Pali class will be November 15th.
You'll be back the 15th?
I'll be back the 9th.
Oh, okay. 3 weeks.
Yeah. But it's not an excuse. Try to fit. But I have to say, when you do the further readings, yeah, these passages are from commentary, this is commentarial style Pali. Rasavahini, Dhammapada commentary, Jataka commentary. So don't be discouraged if you have trouble with this style, because it takes experience to get accustomed to get, you really need somebody to guide you into the style. So try the best you can. And then even this, I think, rather than my asking you to do this, these readings, I should do these the way I've done for the readings we just covered, till you get more familiar with the style. But because I'm saving you work on further readings, try to get into lesson 11.
Lesson 11 looks very long. Very long, yeah. 11 and 12 are long. Yeah, they're both very long.
Wow, it looks like, yeah, because they have the whole first sermon of the Buddha, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. At the end of chapter 12. But just try your best, and if you don't want to go ahead, if you're hesitant, then review what you've done. But keep it up, otherwise if you don't keep on working with the Pali, then it will slip away.